Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260-week, five-year-long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 27, studying Matthew chapter 27. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free. 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 27. At the end of our last program, we were discussing Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10, the remorse and the death of Judas Iscariot. Here's what we noted about Judas in that study. Sometime after Judas betrayed Jesus, he learned that Jesus had been condemned to die. That prompted Judas to go back to the chief priest to return the 30 pieces of silver. The text tells us that Judas was remorseful. What triggered Judas's remorse? Was it his betrayal? Was it what his betrayal brought about? Namely, the condemnation of Jesus, the sentencing of Jesus to death, or was it both? It would be difficult to have one without the other here. The text tells us that Judas, when he realized that Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful. The text also tells us that Judas was aware of both his sin and the innocence of Jesus. Judas said, "I have sinned." And, as the rest of that statement says, he did so by betraying innocent blood. There's no question that Judas, after the fact, wished that he had not betrayed Jesus. While we cannot read Judas's mind and know Judas's heart 2,000 years after these circumstances, all of this appears to suggest that Judas had not anticipated that his betrayal of the Lord would bring about his death. As our last study drew to a close, we noted that some translations of Matthew 27 verse 3 stated that Judas repented. That can be confusing. Did Judas, in this context, experience biblical saving repentance? The word translated as remorseful in the New King James Version, for instance, and repented in the King James Version in this verse, Matthew 27 3, must not be confused with the word repent that we read in Matthew 3, verse 2, and in Matthew 4, verse 17, where John and Jesus respectively said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's not the same term that Luke records Paul as saying in Acts 17, 30, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." It's not the same term that Peter used when he told his audience who, when they heard his Pentecost message, convincing them that Jesus was Messiah and that they were responsible for his death, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's response, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2, 37 and 38. Jesus did not experience that degree of conviction. He apparently was not cut to the heart, nor did Judas experience that kind of repentance. The kind of repentance that we find in these texts, Matthew 3, 2, Matthew 4, 17, Acts 17, 30, Acts 2:38 and many others, leads to hope and to eternal life. Without that kind of repentance, there's no hope. That's the thought that we find in Luke 13, verse 3. That verse reads, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Verse 5 repeats that same truth. Bauer defines the term used in Matthew 27:3 as to have regrets about something in the sense that one wishes it could be undone. Be very sorry, regret. While having this kind of feeling, this kind of sorrow and or regret can be good, as we shall see, it's not the same as the term repent used in the verses that we just referenced. Sorrow must be more than regret. It must be more than a sense of, I wish I could take that back. Paul to the church in Corinth characterized what appears to be a stronger kind of sorrow as godly sorrow. Hear Paul's words, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Note that godly sorrow yields a repentance that leads to salvation. Judas's remorse led to Judas's death. Godly sorrow does not lead to regret, yet the term that we find in Matthew 27:3, according to Bauer, includes that very meaning. The term rendered as repent in the passages that we cited above, Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17, Acts 17:30, and Acts 2:38, and other texts, means not only to feel remorse, but also to be converted. It means to change one's mind. Lou and Nida note that it means to change one's way of life as the result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness, to repent, to change one's way, repentance. This repentance runs deeper and wider and generates results consistently with not only a change of mind, but a change of life, a complete change of life. Lou and Nida also note, though in English, a focal component of repent is the sorrow or contrition that a person experiences because of sin. The emphasis in metanoia and metanoia seems to be more specifically the total change, both in thought and behavior, with respect to how one should both think and act. End of citation. The point of this, Judas's attitude, he was remorseful, and Judas's actions, he hanged himself, are not consistent with what Scripture teaches elsewhere about the kind of repentance that's an inherent element of salvation. Note, it's an inherent element, but it's not the only inherent element. The New International Dictionary notes the part that repentance plays as one of the necessary elements with these words. Primitive Christian preaching continued the call for repentance. This missionary preaching linked with a call for repentance all the elements we have already met. The call to faith and to be baptized, the promise of forgiveness of sins, and the assurance of life and salvation. End of citation. Our purpose in this discussion of Judas's remorse? To call specific attention to the distinction between what Judas did in this instance and biblical saving repentance. We are not alone in noting this distinction, as just about every commentator and exegete of some repute calls attention to the same thing. We cite but one, Turner. The word used to express Judas's remorse is metamelomai, not metanoio, the word most often used for genuine repentance. End of citation by Turner. One last thought, actually two. First, remember that chapter and verse breaks are arbitrary. Though something in the text usually triggers these divisions, changes in time, or in location, or in topic, and so forth, just remember that they are not divinely inspired textual partitions. Second, with that in mind, take a quick look back at the closing verses of Matthew 26. Three times between verses 69 and the closing verse, verse 75, Peter, a fellow apostle of Judas, Peter denied the Lord. We see the first denial in verses 69 and 70. We observe the second denial in verses 71 and 72, and we witness the third and the final denial in verses 73 and 74. The result, clearly depicted in the closing words of the 74th verse and into the 75th verse. Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew's order of events, from the closing verses of chapter 26, going into the opening verses of chapter 27, places two accounts of the betrayals of two apostles, with two sad yet very different outcomes, one right after the other. The two apostles, Peter and Judas. The two betrayals. Peter denied Jesus three times, just as Jesus said Peter would. And Judas betrayed Jesus to the chief priest and the elders for 30 pieces of silver. These two back-to-back accounts cannot be missed. The outcomes, though both quite sad, were quite different. Peter went out and wept bitterly, Matthew 26, verse 75, and Judas went and hanged himself, Matthew 27, verse 5. Peter would live to see another day. Judas, of course, would not. In John's concluding chapter, Jesus asked Peter three times whether or not he, Peter, loved him, meaning Jesus. Three times, from John 21, verse 15, through John 21, verse 17, Jesus asked Peter the same question, "Do you love me?" And three times, Peter responded to Jesus with, "You know that I love you." Peter, of course, regretted what he did when he, on the night of Judas's betrayal of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, denied three times that he, Peter, knew the Lord. He remembered what Jesus said, and he wept bitterly. Lou and Nida note that bitterly means pertaining to feeling mental agony, bitterly with agony. But Peter did not hang himself. Yes, Peter sinned, but Peter lived another day. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 27. This reminder as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.